captivating to think about the connections which he is affirming there and his sense of responsibility as he speaks these words to the church. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are of the dispersion, that is, scattered throughout the world, and then simply the word greeting. And then he begins by speaking of some substantial matters that concern all of us in the experience of seeking to be what James was, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of low degree glory in his high estate, and the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun ariseth with the scorching wind, and withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his goings. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. Now let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And then the lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. Be not deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of the truth, that we should be a kind of firstborn or first fruits of his creatures. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deluding or deceiving your own selves. For if any one is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. He beholds himself and goes away and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Any man thinks that he is religious while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, none defiled before our God and Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, 27 verses introducing what appears to be numerous and perhaps somewhat unrelated topics at first glance yields the fruit of closer reading and study in detecting a dominant thread that has its keynote in verse 25. He who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continues. The word means to remain in a place, to abide there, and to continue to abide there. He looks into, that is, he looks intently, closely, carefully, with a desire to understand, into the perfect law, the law of liberty. That too is something he continues in. But he continues not just in the study of this word, but in the practice of it. It is a desire to understand that he may know his duty before God and fulfill it. And so he continues. Be not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who does, who works. This man shall be blessed in his doing. It's in that word continue that we find the chief note of this dominant thread in the whole chapter. And so the word continuance will be our theme tonight in this brief treatment of James chapter 1. Indeed, as in all these epistles we've been looking at the first chapters of New Testament letters, a gateway into what follows in the rest of the letter. Continuance. And we hear it not just in this verse, but in the immediate surrounding of the verse. Notice what follows in verses 26 and 27. There's a contrast there set before us. On the one side is the man who thinks himself to be religious, while he bridles not his tongue. Now, James could have chosen some other illustration of the lack of having the true religion, but he chose the way of speech that is unrestrained. There's no bridle upon his conversation. He is one of those fellows that would say, I say what I mean what I say it when I want to say it, and I say it to whomever I want to say it, and I say it the way I want to say it. And James says the man obviously has deceived his own heart about his profession of being religious. He thinks himself to be religious, while he bridles not his tongue, but deceives his heart. This man's religion is vain, it's empty, it's profitless as far as any good influence is concerned. The illustration used by James here is a way of referring to what in the book of Proverbs is often spoken of as a foolish man. Because it is the foolish man who does not guard his speech, puts no bridle upon his tongue, shows no restraint, and is even defensive about the way he talks. James will have much to say about that in this letter, as Solomon did in the Proverbs. But in his speech, he has revealed that his claim to be religious is one that is false, and his kind of religion will not bear the fruit in his life and in the lives of others that God intends. Now, by contrast with him, we have the last verse. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this. And here James gives a couple of illustrations, and they are of different kinds, and other illustrations could have been used. These are not the only elements of pure religion, undefiled before our God and Father. But these are certainly two elements to be found in that religion that is pure and undefiled in God's sight. Whether it's in man's sight or not is not important to us. But is it pure and undefiled before our God and Father as religion? That is of concern to us. And the two elements that James cites are elements that he will deal with also further in this letter, and perhaps the reason they're chosen at this point. Because it is a benevolent practice of pure and undefiled religion in helping those who are afflicted, orphans and widows, and that would include, of course, other people too, that are experiencing hardship. And it also includes the element of keeping oneself unspotted from the world. Now, as I said, there are other elements of pure religion, undefiled before our God and Father, than just those two. But James has chosen to give emphasis to the character of religion that pleases God, what we ought to be concerned about. Is the religion we practice, the religion we have from God through our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its elements? So then, we have to attend to the Word to know that, to understand the Word and to live by the Word, and therefore to continue in that. And there is your theme of continuance. But notice the verses that precede verse 25, where James has also given attention to this matter, pointing out that there must be reform of one's life in which certain things are removed or refused, so that a person can indeed receive God's word implanted, which means that the word is not just heard, it's taken into ourselves, so that it becomes a part of ourselves. It is the seed of God's word growing in us and producing the fruit that God intends for it to produce. And that can only happen if that word is genuinely implanted in us. Well, that's something far more than just hearing some sermons and lessons and more than just reading the Bible. It's reading and hearing with the intention of receiving and making God's Word a part of our spiritual system that directs our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, the implanted Word. And that is why it is able to save our souls. Do you notice that James's way of expressing that word concerning salvation there is talking about a process? We come to this salvation through the gospel of Christ and receiving it in faith and baptism, accompanied by the repentance in the heart and the confession of that faith. But that's just the beginning of God's work in us. As we live the Christian life and receive the guidance of God's Word implanted in us, hearing it and living by it, God's work is continuing, and it's a continuing work of saving our souls by the guidance of that Word. But we must cooperate with that work of God by both hearing and doing what the Word says. Do not be just hearers of the Word, said James, but doers of it. And he gives us an illustration of it that's a rather light touch concerning a serious matter. I say a light touch because it has to do with something so mundane as looking in the mirror and preparing oneself for the day. So we do that, and we leave the mirror, and we go about our business and forget what we look like. And it's wise that we do. How much work could a person do if he or she was looking into the mirror every 10 minutes to check on one's appearance? So much we do in front of the mirror is simply to make ourselves presentable to the world that we may accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish in our relationships and responsibilities. And so we do not want to have an appearance that is distracting in any way or that shows a lack of attention to basic things that ought to be done to be presentable to the world. So we know these things and we know our responsibility about it. We don't have to wear tricolor shoes with neon flashing lights as we go out into the world, and we don't have to have a spoon and a fork sewn into our eyebrows or some other object in order to make our appearance in the world. We want to be able to go into the world and forget about our appearance and not have people focused on our appearance. So we forget about that. And it's wise that we do. But then James is using that as an illustration about something that's not wise. That a person would hear God's word and then forget that. That's the very thing we ought not to do, to hear God's word and forget his word. And so we are to be hearers and doers of that word. And hearing and doing are both in a continuous sense, because James is talking about continuance. It's not something we do on occasion. It's something we do every day and all the time, because his theme, his subject is continuance in a way of life of what it means to be truly God's people. Now, he speaks of this throughout the chapter. He's speaking of that when he talks about falling into manifold temptations and having the right attitude toward that and the expectation of God's work to help us endure and overcome those difficulties and the temptations that go with those difficulties. And in urging us to let that work have its full accomplishment in our lives so that it produces in us the character of endurance and steadfastness. So don't cut it short. Let that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. He's speaking of that when he is speaking about the prayer for wisdom. And this is to be a common characteristic in our lives. We don't get wisdom and then we assume we always have it from then on. You know, in our humility and in being confronted by things that are challenging to us as God's people, we'll always have the need to seek God's wisdom in prayer. So a continuance in that. And the life that is lived upon spiritual principles and not upon the basis of the things the world values, we must continue in that, in our fellowship in Christ, brother with brother and sister with sister in the family of God. And so the blessing upon the man who endures and the reward is his, and on through the chapter. But I want to look at that another way, because as James gives this instruction about continuance, do you notice that he's talking about dangers? As we mentioned this morning about wise fathers will warn their children about dangers, and here's James doing that very thing in the wise teaching of this chapter. So there are some dangers that can hinder or subvert this continuance in our lives as God's genuine people, in this steadfastness, this faithfulness, whatever word you want to use, but it's continuing in this day by day. And what would be those dangers? Well, one would be the failure to persevere. I made mention of that a moment ago, verses 2 through 4. Or it would be double-mindedness, about which James speaks quite plainly there in verse 8. The expectation that this man may have, that all he has to do is pray and God will give him what he prayed for, while at the same time he's trying to live two different kinds of life in his thought and in his practices. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, said James, a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. And that certainly would undermine the effort of being a continuously believing, obedient child of God. And then materialism. You see the encouragement to the brother of low degree, the warning to the brother who is rich. Because our relations one with another in the church and our relation with God has nothing to do with material things. We must not let that become a part of our fellowship with any kind of influence upon us or in our relation to God and our expectation of blessing from Him. And then there's the failure to love and trust God. And that's what James is talking about here when he warns a person about, don't say, I am tempted of God. Yes, God allows his children to experience hardships, losses, sufferings in this life that are common to all people, and he allows us to experience persecution when that may come. But God does not desert us in those difficulties. And when those trials come to our lives, and with those trials sometimes comes temptation to sin, do not think God is the source of those temptations to sin. Because that is not from God. And James speaks of one source of those temptations in this part of his book. He speaks of another in chapter 4. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. And then that can lead to sin and then to death spiritually. But he also mentions Satan in chapter 4 when he says, be subject to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4 and verse 7. So the danger is both from within and from without. And speaking about the temptation to sin. But the failure here is a failure to know God and to love Him and trust Him. Because what we have from God are those things which James calls every good gift and every perfect gift. Do we not remember, as if to say to us, James is talking to us here,